The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Well, I think we should just bring on Paulie, better known as Burt Young.
They're talking about a movie called Creed.
You know what, though? You better have Paulie in that movie.
If they dump me, it'll be sacrilegious.
Hi, from Mario Lopez. Mario, how's it going tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great. And you get a lot of Hollywood hotties getting on you, or what? And you were like a Miley Cyrus, that shit works. You know, I need you.
Yeah,
you
look like I haven't known her since she was a little girl. She's real sweet, and, she's grown up.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, she has.
Mr. Gianni Russo played Carlo Rizzi in the original Godfather.
James Caan.
Ah, Philip. He broke two of your ribs, you saying?
With the kicking when I crawled out?
Yeah.
Going to the fire hydrant?
Mm-hmm.
We want to introduce Mr. Bach Wooten.
How many bouncers did you take out at that one time in Sweden?
There were five of them, so I had every one I dropped, but they were just coming back up,
Mario Andretti. Mario, how are you this evening?
Wonderful, guys. Greg, one question.
Yes.
If I call you the rambling freak, will you squash me like a bug?
Hey, Greg, you know, me and you were big fans of The Mob Wives. We had Big Ange on a couple of weeks ago, and now we're going to be joined by another one of the gorgeous Mob Wives, Miss Drita DeVanzo. Drita,
uh-huh.
Love Dream Radio.
I love you.
Thank you.
So, Drita.
Thank you for having me. I'm so glad I'm on the phone with you.
Oh, you know, pleasure is all ours. So let's talk a little, Mom.
Did you guys enjoy the season this year?
Wives is every season is enjoyable, and we love when you guys just let it fly, and we love the fisticuffs. So that's to me, it's even more funny when that goes on.
My girlfriend loves you, Drita. My girlfriend's crazy about you. You know what it is? We're two Italian boys ourselves, you know. And
I love Italians. You know I'm Albanian, right?
Yeah, no, I know that. I bet you make.
But you know, I just had a thing for Italian guys always.
Well,
all women do. We're the best.
Have you ever seen what Joe and I look like, or no? You know, I don't even know if you know what we look like here.
No, should I want to know or what?
Oh,
hey, we're bodybuilders, both of us. That's what we do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what I'm saying is, we're you look like a girl. But I think you're too young. But you look like a girl I see in a club down in you never went in the Bronx or Manhattan, did you, in any of the clubs when you were younger?
I did, but I used to go to the ones in Manhattan, never the Bronx.
Oh, did you ever go to a Sound Factory, maybe back in, 2001, 2002?
I wasn't a fan of the Sound Factory. I wasn't into the house music at in the middle of the night. But now that I know that you know, did you, love the strobe lights and you were one of those? Did you have a backpack when you left 12 o'clock the next night?
No, not me. Maybe.
No. I'll tell you what, the Sound Factory was, he even drove by that place. People went outside and they were hiding from the light. It was sick, like vampires.
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know what, Drita, I used to go at 5, 6 in the morning. I'd get out at 1 in the afternoon, and you couldn't see because the sun would kill your eyes and stuff. but you know what it is? Like I said, you know, we hang out with a whole crew and stuff, and you know, that was big back then, you know?
That was just, listen, that was a great era, though. It was a good time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to go to 1018 in the city. That's how far back I went. Greg, I know that. You know that.
I don't even know about 1018.
It's on 10th Avenue and 18th Street. That's why they called it 1018. Yeah, they used to have the Hot 103 when 103.5 was, the disco and freestyle station. They used to have the live Saturday night parties from there. So that was a good place to hang out.
I'll tell you, the city was the best. A lot of my friends used to go out to Jersey, and the clubs would close so early, so I didn't like to go to Jersey.
Yeah, it was a 2 o'clock curfew in Jersey. Yeah, that sucked. We used to go to...
Yeah, what's that all about? We used to leave the house at midnight to go out in the city.
We used to go to the Hunka Bunka Ballroom in Jersey.
Oh, God. I'm too young, but I know a lot of people that used to, because my husband's like 8 years older than me. I thought that was his era.
How old are you, Drina? I know ladies don't like to be asked that.
No, I don't think I'm not allowed to tell my age. I'm in my 30s, but I'm not in the late 30s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm 46.
No, I'm in my 30s, but I know the Hunka Bunka is the 40s, right?
Yeah, yeah. We used to go there like late 80s, early 90s. That used to be like a big, big place to have a lot of...
What about the Copacabana? I used to hear about that.
I used to go to Copa, too.
I used to go to all of them.
That's sick. You know what? You know what I really love, though? I love all types of music, but my favorite, and I actually hosted a couple of concerts. I love freestyle music, and that wasn't my era either. But when I was growing up, like, my older cousins used to play it all the time, so I know all the songs, and I love it. I still go host. It's hysterical. Like, TKA and all them, I'll go and I'll host the concerts.
I love that stuff. Yeah, when we had Big Ange on, we were talking about pastels. She used to go to Pastels.
Oh, boy.
That was one
Big
of my
Ange
old
ran
spots.
Pastels. Big Ange told me she was pregnant on the dance floor at Pastels. She's like, my water broke right in the middle of the dance floor.
You sound like that.
Oh, that is fucking awesome.
I gotta ask Drita something. Now, Drita, you said you like Italian guys. Did you get a lot? See, to me, I grew up with Albanians. There's never no problems. I don't, you know what I'm saying? But did you have problems like that with your family? Were they like, what are you doing with these Italian guys? You know what I mean?
Growing up, like all Albanian girls I knew, they either had arranged marriages or they had to marry an Albanian. That was just like the way it is. But my father was different. Like I was like the first Albanian girl that like ever played sports, and you know, he wanted me to go to college. He did disown me when I married Lee, but it wasn't because he wasn't Albanian. It was because he wasn't a college graduate.
I get what you mean. But
you know, he just didn't want me to have a hard life. He was upset about that, but he's not like it wasn't like that, you know. And my father actually lived in Italy for a long time. He speaks unbelievable Italian, beautiful. When I was younger, because I understand Albanian, but he didn't want me to understand what they were talking about. Him and my mother would talk Italian to each other, and I hated that.
Really?
It's so nice. Like, it's fluent. It's amazing. He reads the Italian papers. Yeah, because they live there. They also live there.
That's common, though. You know, when I was younger, I thought Albania was part of Italy. I swear to God.
Where my mother comes from in Albania, it's literally like the way in Staten Island, you jump on the ferry, you're in the city in 20 minutes. It's the same story. You're in where she comes from, you jump on the boat, and 20 minutes you're in Italy. So, I mean, it's very, very close. I know the history of it, and it's very interesting. Like Italians that are from Calabria, they have Albanian bloodlines. That's where Albanians used to go, and then just over time, they're Italians.
Wow, I believe that, because when I grew up, I told you, all the kids I knew that were Albanian, they were like more Italian than I was, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, my father's friends are Italian, like, the traditions are very similar. I mean, it's different now, obviously, the kids now. What fucking tradition do they have? Oops, am I allowed to curse?
Yes, you are.
Well,
please continue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, anyway, they don't know tradition. The kids know that. They don't get it. What do they know?
Well,
they don't care. You can't raise the kids like you used to raise them. They're just a different world.
Yeah, but we're schmucks with our kids. I'm sure you let your little girls, they're like the princesses. They probably get away with a lot more than we got away with when we were younger. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, they get away with everything. What do you mean, a lot? I'm the least threat in history. My daughters think I'm the biggest whoosh, going. My daughters are not, I am strict with them, I'm not going to lie. My daughters do not watch Mob Wives, nor are they allowed to. They're actually not allowed to watch any reality TV. They're very limited on TV. They only watch, like, the Nickelodeon, certain channels. I have everything on lockdown, like a wacko. Cell phones, everything. I'm on top of everything. I like a cop.
Really?
You know what? I am like that. I did grow up in a strict household, and it's funny because I ended up being a little bit like my parents at the end of the day. Nothing like them, but a little bit. I just feel like, you know, my daughter hates me. So it's a good sign. I told her, if you loved me, that means I'm doing something wrong. I said, at 13 years old, you're not supposed to love your mother. You just need to know that I love you and I'll die for you and you're good to go. Otherwise, when you're older, you have kids, then you'll appreciate me and you'll understand why I'm strict.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
They must love the fact that you're now on television. I mean, you know, don't know the kids say, like, oh my God, I saw your mom on TV or any of that stuff or no?
Well, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I was saying, they must love the fact that you're on television.
What? No. Aaliyah, my 13-year-old, no. Could care less. When the kids talk about Mob Wives, for one, she doesn't watch it. I take an edited version. This is pretty funny, but this is true. I take, like, a Prince's version of Mob Wives, and I allow her to watch that version. And when she went to school, some kids like, oh, my God, your mother fought two people by herself. She's so tough. She's like, my mother? She's like, my mother cries if you read a poem in the house. She's like, she's not tough, trust me. So she's like clueless to that. But the little one loves it. Aaliyah could care less. Aaliyah's like very laid back in the cut, like her father, quiet, doesn't care to be on TV. She's very, very smart. And the little one tells people that her name is Giselle from Mob Wife.
Really?
Yeah, Giselle loves it.
I need
to take pictures today. Nobody even asked her. She just wants to say it.
Now, let me ask you a question. What about the husband? Does he have issues? Like, you know, because a lot of times, listen, you don't know my past, but I was involved in all a lot of things in the 90s, you know. I've been on television, blah, 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 for a lot of things, too. But does your husband ever feel like, hey, don't talk about anything? Like, you know, usually they don't like that privacy, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
guys, for such a long time that I think after, you know, with my track record, you don't even have to say that. you know what it is, too? I think, like, when we came on the show, a lot of people were like, how is this possible? This is doesn't make sense. When you sit back and really look at the bigger picture, for one, when I came on the show, my husband already had gotten, arrested, and he was in jail Everybody that was on the show, basically, you could just Google what they did. Anything we talked about was already Googled. You could Google it, you understand? So it's not like we're talking about, but we all focus on ourselves and the kids and what our hardships were. So that's where it separated it. It wasn't like we went on the show really talking about them and what they did. It was what we're going through. I would hope, like, all the young kids that think it's cool, like, yeah, I want to be in the streets and be a gangster, could watch the show and see how awful, you know, the ending is, and not to take that route. I would hope it works in a different way, because nobody really sees what the wives and the moms and the children go through. What reality show do you watch? You know, I'm sitting, I have a moment with my daughter, who has been through a lot, very, you know, hardships, and she's went, you know, it's just bad what she's been through, and you see it, it's so real, and you have a child there hurting and crying, and you know what, all those guys that are in jail that are tuned in, just know what you're doing to those little kids, and what your effect they have on them, and I don't think they get that. In jail, they love Mob Wives, but I can assure you, they don't love those moments on Mob Wives.
You make a good point, Deidre. A lot of people overlook that aspect of it. You know, like we've all seen the mob movies when, when Goodfellas, Henry Hill's wife and his daughters come visit him in jail and stuff like that. But many people don't just, they look at the mobster that's in jail. They don't, like you said, they don't really look at the family part of it.
Nope.
That kind of brings out a real interesting and unique aspect of the whole equation, the way you guys do this stuff, and it's televised and everything. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, what the wives are going through and the children. My daughter. Look at Renee. She's a child of a man in this lifestyle, and that's why it's interesting. Everybody's part and connected somehow, some way. And all the women and the kids get the shit under the stick, and that's the truth. You know, the man gets arrested, goes to jail, he does his time. What's happening outside, it's a lot harder out here. I'll tell you that. You're in there, you got no fucking bills. What bills you got? You got shit. You're just sitting there doing your time. We're the ones that got to fucking suffer.
You're right. It happened to me. And I remember calling my daughter from jail. She was 3 years old at the time. And I remember her saying, Daddy, do they have you tied to a chair? You know what I mean? And I remember that broke my heart. No.
Listen, you know what? You don't think like that, though, right? Because I look at Lee. I got married 3 weeks later. I was married and pregnant. 3 weeks later, Lee went to jail for almost 7 years, I think it was.
Wow.
There was no bail, nothing. So I just found out I was pregnant. I just got married. 3 weeks later, he's gone for 7 years. That's my story. So I go, you know, from the beginning of a pregnancy to turning around, having a child, now her father won't be around till she goes to kindergarten. I mean, everything was just laid on my lap. And I was young. I was real young. So sitting back, I was like, holy shit, like, this is crazy. It's not like, you know, like in the movies you watch it, these women, I don't know, they portray them to look like they're jumping around in furs and having such a good fucking time. They should have filmed me when I was going to Rikers Island having a bloodbath fist fight on the side of the road, on the bus, off the bus. Forget it. It's a disaster.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, man. Go ahead, Greg. I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, he's lucky he's got you, because my ex, when I went to jail, my wife took all my money and was with another guy and everything like that, you know? He's living in my house, sleeping in my bed, you know?
Boy, man, that sucks. I'll tell you what. There's a lot of girls, like, I never judge the women. I don't. I really don't. I don't sit back, not one of them. I know stories for days. And you know, there's women that go to the jails, they make believe they're waiting, they're fucking blowjobs. And then there's women that go and they really are waiting. And then there's women that don't go at all and they're like, go fuck yourself. You know, I'm living my life. And you know what? To each his own. I don't judge any of them to do whatever. I, on the other hand, you know, I grew up in a different, this is where we go back to the way your parents raise you. And this is exactly why 90% of the time I wouldn't do anything, you know, that someone would be like, why would you even wait a day? Why wouldn't you do this? You know, I come from a very old school, traditional family. I mean, did I have to wait? No. You know, and if I didn't chose not to, I wouldn't be wrong either. But, you know, in my family, it's like, you know what, you get married, stick it out, try to make it work. I tried my damn hardest. When he came home, he went back to jail. I mean, that right then and there is insane. It's like, what the fuck? Do you wait again? You know, it's crazy. And then you're by yourself. You know what? What happened to you sucks. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Because if I was the guy and that happened to me, I would fucking snap.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to watch everything I do because, they wanted to bury me. You know what I'm saying?
And plus, you have to sit there and say, this is my fault. You got to sit there and say, I can't do nothing about it. You know, if I didn't leave, this wouldn't have happened. So it's like, I don't know. I kind of feel bad. I felt bad for Lee, too. Should you go to jail for your crimes? 100%. You did it. Go to jail. Do your time. Whatever.
But right.
I don't think that, you know, throwing wood to the fire, making it worse for them, you know. I don't know. I just think a lot of the women, that the situations are different. You're married to somebody, you love the lifestyle, then they go to jail, and then you want to dip out. But all those years, you loved it, but now it's not good enough. So, I mean, where's your vow there?
My wife loved the money, but you want to know something? You know, what the worst part is my arrest was all over television. I'm the guy that had the biggest arms. I don't know if you ever saw that. The guy with the biggest arm, you know, that stupid thing on TLC, and then his arms exploded and all that crap. None of that should happen like that. But anyway, my arrest was all over television. They were, you know, John Stewart used footage of it, you know what I mean? And all. So my son was older. And if people used to break his balls about it at school. Oh, I saw your father getting arrested on TV and all that. So that, you know, that really, you know, did a number on him, too. So he didn't talk to me for years.
Well, he was out.
What's that?
Did it affect him or he rebelled? Like some kids rebel and some kids take the right road, complete opposite.
Yeah, no, he took the right road, Greg's kid.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's he's a success story. And
but that's great, because you want to know something? When I go to, when I was in a visiting room, and you look at a, when you look at the bigger picture and all those guys that are in jail, this is how important it is for a man to be in the children's life and them to have a father and a father figure. 90% of them have no fathers, and they're all sitting in jail. Whose father was killed, whose father was never around, whose father was never there. And all those guys are in jail. So that's why women need to sit back and take a, you know, a bigger picture and look at the bigger picture there. It's like a domino effect. That's why men have to be home.
Single-parent household, a lot of times the kid strays, you know, the son, the boys. But, Drita, unfortunately, we're coming up on a break now, so I want to just give you a chance to plug whatever you want to plug. Obviously, Mob Lives on VH1.
Well, thank you for having me, first of all. I had a conversation with you guys.
We just give out any sites you want to give out, your personal site.
All right, so Lady Boss is my store, and I sell it on Drita.com. You can find all information on me on there.
All right, cool. We're going to have the links on the episode article as well. Drita DeVanzo from the Mob Wives, thank you so much for joining Greg and myself on Extreme Radio tonight.
Thank you for having me, guys. It was good talking to you.
Drita, I got much respect for you. Much love and much respect. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Jim Kelly, former Buffalo Bills quarterback and Pro Football Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Joe Pitaro and Greg Valentino.
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and extreme radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit FitnessRxForMen.com today.
Hey, everybody, this is Don Brewer from Grand Funk Railroad, and you're listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
This Junkyard Willie, and when I'm at my junkyard shining the hubcaps all day, getting all sweaty, I listen to the Greg and Joe show on Extreme Radio.
Hey, this is Sebastian Bach, and you are listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Oh, how the fuck are you? Max Cook here. Let me tell you something. I had a lot of fun talking to Joe and Greg. Couple of top-shelf margaritas, those two. Now, you're going to do me a favor. You're going to go to YouTube, and you're going to type in Max Cook, M-A-X-K-O-C-H, you strunts. And you're going to watch my videos, and you're going to fucking like them, or we're going to have a problem.
This is Ernie Banks. You listen to Greg and Joe. They're great guys.
What's up, guys? James Maslow here, and you're listening to Joe and Greg on Extreme Radio.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, it's Max Martini from 50 Shades of Grey, and you're listening to Greg Valentino and Joe Pitaro on Extreme Radio.
Hey, it's Artie Lang, and you're listening to Greg and Joe. Check it out.
You are listening to Extreme Radio, presented by Fitness RX for Men magazine, with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Pitaro. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiotero@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Extreme Radio.
Man, wow, man. Drita DeVanzo from the fucking Mob Wives, Gregory. And that's
dude,
fucking amazing.
She's pretty hot. She's pretty hot, you know. What do you think? Would you...
Pretty hot? I think that's an understatement. I think she's extremely hot.
Yeah, I do. I think if you had to, you know, bang any of the girls from that Mob Wives, realistically, who would you would you bang?
Oh, I mean, basically, it's hard to make a call on that because I there's a few of them that are like fucking stunning, but she's got to be right up at the top, I'd say.
For my taste, well, you know, I like the dark hair girls, you know that.
Yeah.
But I also like them. I like them on a skinny side, and she's kind of like built a little bit. You know, I mean, tight, hard body. She's in good shape. I would probably either her or Ramona, to be honest with you, I think.
Yeah, Ramona's Ramona's fucking beautiful. But I don't think you can go wrong with any of the mob wives. They're all cool, even if you're just hanging with them, if there's, just to hang and talk. Like, we've had the three mob wives on now, Greg. Fucking Big Ange, Love Majeski,
right.
And now Drita DeVanzo. So
yeah, we
are...
Sure.
And
also, actually, Ramona was scheduled to be on. She kind of had a little thing, side thing, so she couldn't make it, but...
You know what? How could we... We can never say anything wrong against the mob wife, so she's more than forgiven.
No, but you know what, though?
What a pussy I am, right?
They love each other. Even Big
Campbell, I'm cursing them out. Cocksucking it and fucking, you know?
Yeah, but wait, listen. Big Ange was telling me that, you know, those are my girls. I love them. I really can't fight them. You know that. They're my girls. So she was even saying how, those are her bitches, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Which one of them was telling us that she was in a club and then, like, you know, supposed to fight? I think it was,
That was Love.
Majeski was telling us how she was supposed to fight, like, Ramona or something like that. And Ramona came in, it was, 2 hours later. Ramona came in.
Yeah,
and
that was Love with the whole thing when they had that Carla. It was Love versus Carla, I think.
Yeah, but then they were hugging and kissing, and then a producer came over and said, "Listen, you got to go back outside, and you girls got to fight." Oh, okay. And the girl walks out. You know, they're hugging and kissing. And after 2 hours, the girl comes back out, goes back out, and comes back in. Motherfucker, I'll kill you. You know, like that shit.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But hey, listen, it's television, bro. But you know what? Not for nothing. The Mob Wives goes far. Because we had a listener, he's probably listening right now, Vasil Atanasov. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That's at Vasox, VASOX85 on Twitter. This dude is listening in fucking Bulgaria. It's 3 a.m. over there. So we want to say hi to Vasil. We got retweeted by our Extreme Radio _PR. Our good friend Melanie is doing a fucking bang-up job getting the fucking shit on Twitter. Oh man, we're cooking with fucking high test gas right now.
Extremely. We are nice young girl like Melanie interested in a show like ours. I'm proud.
And you know what? We're learning new things because two old farts like us, dude. We're fucking learning what the youth of the world likes. So we're starting to get different types of guests on, but. We're doing some good stuff, but I want to get our buddies from C-Sweat, Eric the Trainer and those guys. Let's give them a shout out now. Check them out there on csweat.com. So, hey, fitness fans, looking for the best behind-the-scenes look at how your favorite athletes and celebrities train? Then go to csweat.com to get your best celebrity workouts today and stay tuned for more training tips from Eric the Trainer at FitnessRxTheMen.com, Extreme Radio, and CSweat.com for more. Check them out. Big John McCarthy from UFC and from Strikeforce. We got a couple of vids up there with him, and we're having a real good time with those guys. CSweat.com. Make sure you take care of them.
I'm sorry, Joe. Is Big John, is he still, didn't he leave the UFC, or what's the deal with him?
Well, Big John McCarthy went to Strikeforce, and then Strikeforce got swallowed back up by UFC, so I don't know exactly what his status is now as far as reffing MMA, but he was kind of like that first guy in UFC that people knew, like, as a ref. I guess he was kind of like the Mills Lane was in boxing. He was like the name ref that everybody knew. You know, he was like kind of that one that, you know, broke out and stuff and got people kind of knowing who the middle guy
was. Without a doubt.
Yeah, he's fucking jacked, man. He was a big fucking scary-looking dude, John McCarthy.
Why would he leave, though? That's crazy, because, you know, he kind of made a name for himself there, and then, you know, you leave, and then, he let the door open for other guys to, like, basically take over. I mean, he had a friggin'
going on. You know what? Maybe one day we'll get him on a show, and we'll ask him. I know C-Sweat wants to do some shows with, we're going to try to get Eric on here, and, and well, maybe we can get Big John on and can just ask him himself, man, because I don't know. I won't even speculate. I have no idea what happened between him and the UFC. But we got a couple of fucking cool shows coming up next week on the 30th of June. DJ Who Kid, if you guys listen to any hip-hop rap out there, 50 Cent and all these guys, not my music. You know that, Greg. I'm fucking the last guy to know this shit. But I know DJ Who Kid because he's always on the Opie and Anthony show. So he's a fucking funny motherfucker. We're going to have him on next week. And then on the 7th of July, we have not one, but two hot chicks on this show. We're going to have Jennifer Leah Gottlieb from That Metal Show, and then we're going to have Stacey Prussman, comedian, on.
Nice.
And, you guys know Stacey from, you know, she does a daily show with the Reverend Bob Levy, Ears Wide Open, Monday through Friday from 9 to midnight, and that's on a AM channel. I think it's on DC, but you can also hear it on the internet. But a lot of cool shit coming up for this show, dude, and I wanted to, something I saw on the news last week, and obviously in between weeks, you know, sometimes things are on the news, and I say, oh, I wish we had a show tonight, because I wanted to talk about it. Medical marijuana is getting legalized, or whatever you want to call it, in New York State, where we both reside, and they said it's going to be about 18 months till all the red tape and the paperwork goes through, but it's a done deal for all intents and purposes. I'm totally against it. I think it's a bunch of fucking horseshit. I think that if you want to smoke pot, you're an adult, go ahead and do it. I don't give a fuck. But I think to legalize it and try to put the medical issues in front of it as a fucking crutch of it, and people, oh, but my kid has this, and I have glaucoma. And let me tell you something, bro. L.A. has medical marijuana. I was out in L.A. when we did the James Maslow shoot, right?
Right.
And I'm not going to mention any names, but somebody that was with us who resides out there.
Right, I know who it is.
I asked, what's the deal with this medical marijuana, bro? Because, you know, I didn't know anything about it. Now, this is before it got passed here in New York, but they were talking about it. So it was an issue that was in the fucking news. And basically what this guy is telling me is that he goes, and we're driving around going to different, we're bound Venice by Muscle Beach and by Gold and all of
right.
That fucking that area. You know it over there. You live there. So passing by all of these fucking stores, they look like bodegas. With these green, like Red Cross symbol, but green, like in illuminated lights or just painted on there. And he goes, every one of those stores you see with the green cross, those are marijuana dispensaries. Basically, long story short, he said that when they first did it, like when he first moved there or whatever, I don't remember exactly timeline, he nervously walked in and basically the guy was like, oh, you're tired, you're having trouble sleeping, you're irritable, whatever. And he's like, okay. And he goes, okay, sure, no problem. Here's the prescription. How much do you want? Dude, it was like walking up and buying a fucking quarter ounce or a fucking, well, you know, I'm going to bring your boy back, a tray bag.
You know what it is, Joe? You're using it for, like, bad backs. Well, people are saying I got a bad back.
Oh,
dude, you
want to
hold
bro.
Marijuana, it's medical purposes or bullshit.
That's
okay?
Bullshit.
There's so... If you had glaucoma, if you really had real glaucoma and your fucking eyes were degenerate, believe me, there's plenty of other medicines out there that will help you a lot more than fucking marijuana. That's like hammering a thumbtack in a wall with a fucking sledgehammer. It's totally out of, you know, you don't need shit like that. You know what I mean? It's bullshit. But
let me tell you how fucking blatant it is. Now that's bad enough. Now, I didn't go into any one of these stores and see the setup. I'm sure they had Black Light Panther posters and fucking Cheech and Chong on the wall, too, right? But while we were out there, we're on Venice Beach, you know, where the strip is there, right where the fucking weights and all of that bullshit is, the pit.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy on a fucking bicycle driving around with, like, a lime green jumpsuit. The guy who was telling me about the fucking dispensary says, you see those guys? They had like, it looked like he had a basket in the front, like he was selling fucking ice pops.
Yeah.
He's a mobile dispensary of medical marijuana on the beach, driving around with a green jumpsuit on. Give me a fucking break, bro. And they're taking supplements off the shelves saying that they're anabolic steroids or there's illegal substances in these bullshit fucking test booths, which do nothing, but they're putting them on fucking that bullshit anti-steroid act. They're lumping these supplements in with that, and you can't get fucking juice, but you can go. Bro, they have hash, not hash, marijuana oil, like it's vapor, like the e-cigarettes. This guy's tough.
Right.
He sits in the movies and smokes the e-cigarette. People, you know, it doesn't smell because it's just vapor. But there's like this THC, like gel, like oil that you put on this thing in the e-cigarette, and you could sit there and get fucking high and nobody even fucking knows. I think you're smoking an
e-cigarette. Yeah, but listen, that's the thing that I don't understand. Is it does fuck you up. Obviously, if you get high, that's why people smoke. They're not smoking it because, oh, I love the taste. I mean, they're smoking it because you get a buzz from it. If you get a buzz from it, it affects the way you think. You know, it affects your, you know, your motor skills. I don't care. There's people out there saying that's not true. Oh, that bullshit. Oh, you know, our founding father. This is what I hate. When people, idiots like Joe Rogan start that, our founding fathers smoked hemp and all this other shit. Our founding fathers also used to snort coke and shit like that. You know that, right? I mean, George Washington was a cokehead, you know?
Our founding fathers fucking burned people at the stake, too. Are we going to start doing that again?
That's what I'm saying. You know, it's, I mean, come on. I mean, opium, they used to have opium dens. I mean, you know, so don't give me that shit like, well, our founding fathers. You know what it is? You can't give people the right to do stupid shit because then they abuse it. It's unfortunate that even if there was some sort of real medical use that like a tiny percent of a percent of a percent of this country might, you know, it might help some old lady that, you know, really has some rare fucking thing that, you know, that helps them. You're abusing it though. To have people driving around like, you know what I mean, on bicycles selling the shit and legally right in front of cops and all that. I mean, it's out of control. And what you're doing is you're creating a zombie nation. You know what I mean?
Disgusting. I want to ask, because we're not over there. Mike's in Arizona. Mike, I want to ask you. Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up with Arizona? You guys wanted to legalize states yet?
Yep, they got the dispensaries all over the place out here.
Okay, so it's like California, basically. The way I described it is the way it is in your state, then.
Yeah, basically the same thing.
Now, I'm not going to ask you your opinion. It's none of my fucking business. I don't give a shit if you're into it or not. But don't you think that's kind of fucking retarded, though, the way that is?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people out there abusing the system. So, I mean, I don't know. It's not really any of my business, so I'm just trying to stay out of it.
Do you smoke weed, Mike?
I do not.
Okay, well,
I did when I was 13, 14 years old, maybe.
I don't give a shit if somebody gets high. Well, if my kids, I'll kick the fucking balls off of them. But I'm just saying, other than my children, I don't give a shit if an adult decides to get high. But to say it's for medical purpose and to have it on a bike driving around with a green jumpsuit on, it's ridiculous.
What you just said, you actually just said something that, you see how you just said about my kids? See, that's the problem, is that you're sending messages to the young kids today. Well, if it's legal, it's okay. So now, you know, you get 13-year-olds, you know, and 14-year-olds that are like, yo, let's smoke some weed. Hey, it's legal. It's not illegal. Even if it's illegal for them to do it, even if you have to be 18, you're still sending messages to them. And I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm not some fucking guy that's like crotchety old man or something like that. You don't want to legalize prostitution, but you want to legalize that. You don't want to legalize fucking some guy taking testosterone, all right? Yeah, I know the gel and all that shit. That's bullshit. You might as well take a fucking multivitamin.
We got to go to break in a minute. We'll pick up after the break after this stuff. But I wanted to leave this with one thing. They're going so crazy to stop cigarette smoking, which is great. I think that's fucking super because, that's obviously fucking horrible for your health. But they're going crazy to do that, but they're saying, okay, but now marijuana is being used for not only is it legal, but it's medical purposes, too. So let's pick up on that when we get back.
All right.
Dude, we're going for this quick break. We'll be right back. Greg and Joe, Extreme Radio, after these quick words.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Hey, it's Drita from Mobwise, and you're listening to Greg and Joe from Extreme Radio, and you know what? You better listen, or else.
Hey, this is Dan Hardy from the UFC. You're listening to Greg and Joe, Extreme Radio.
Hi, I'm Shannon Sharp, Fitness RX for Men. Bam!
Fitness RX for Men is the ultimate men's print publication, website, and extreme radio show. More than just fitness, we'll also bring you the best news in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle. Fitness RX for Men was established first as a magazine in 2003. Be sure to visit our website, www.fitnessrxformen.com, and check out our social media pages for up-to-the-minute news and tips every day. It's your ultimate prescription for the perfect body. Visit fitnessrxformen.com today.
This here Junkyard Willie, and I'm here to tell you, put your greasy hands together for Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Ron Bumblefoot Thaw, and you're listening to Joe Piattaro and Greg Valentino on Extreme Radio. Yeah!
Oh, how the fuck are you? Max Cook here. Let me tell you something. I had a lot of fun talking to Joe and Greg. A couple of top-shelf margaritas, those two. Now, you're going to do me a favor. You're going to go to YouTube, and you're going to type in Max Cook, M-A-X-K-O-C-H, you strunts. And you're going to watch my videos, and you're going to fucking like them, or we're going to have a problem.
This is Big Ange, and you're listening to Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio, and you better fucking listen.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk. Yeah! If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Pat Cooper, and you're listening to Greg and Joe, because everybody who has brains listens to Greg and Joe, even me.
Hey, what's up? Mario Lopez here, and we're at Gio's Brooklyn Boxing Club doing a photo shoot for Fitness RX for Men.
You are listening to Extreme Radio, presented by Fitness RX for Men magazine, with hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Piattaro. If you have a question or comment for our show today, please call 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You can also send an email to jpiattaro@advancedresearchmedia.com. Now, back to Extreme Radio.
And if you do have any opinion on this whole fucking bullshit medical marijuana, 1-866-472-5788, just like the recording said, 5788 or 5787, both lines, we'd love to take your call. Michael patch you through if you want to call. Hey, listen, if you got an opinion you think we're fucking wrong, go ahead, man. I'm not here to argue about it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Let's go, man.
I tell you what, what kills me is that people think like they're getting more. The government's getting more liberal. They're not. They're actually building a zombie nation, and it's more about control. You think by you smoking weed, you know, they're giving you a little something. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't realize they're taking more of your rights away, and they're more on top of shit. My next door neighbor on Hurricane Sandy, his fucking fence blew down, right? The fence knocked down next door to my house.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a chunk of it still left. All right, so he called the insurance company. All this time, it takes, you know, a long time. The insurance company, it was coming, like a month ago this happened, right? The insurance company's coming to the house to assess the fence and, you know, give him a new fence, right? He goes outside, and him and his wife kick down the rest of the fence so they can get a totally brand new fence.
Fine, no problem.
So, wait, check it out. So the fence, the fucking guy gets there, the insurance guy gets there, and he goes, listen to me, he goes, I know what you guys did. You kicked this fence down. He goes, this fence was not totally down. You only had this much of this fence was down. The rest of this fence, you kicked down. You guys knocked it down recently and within the last week. And they're like, oh, that's bullshit. He goes, oh, really? He goes, come here. I want to show you something. And he goes on a computer, and he shows, you know, that Google Maps bullshit, you know, where they can zone you right on your house.
The fence was up the other day before that or whatever.
Wait, he goes, 2 weeks ago, here's your house. That fence was still up. He goes, now, here you are today. He goes, we check into this shit. You don't realize. He goes, you kicked that fence down. I mean, it shows, you know. So what I'm trying to say is they watch you more and more. You know, I think it's just a zombie nation. See, the reason why Joe, you know me. I've never drank in my life.
No,
I've
never drank a beer. You're sober as a judge fucking lifer, bro.
I'm
the drunkard.
I'm Italian. Well, listen, I'm Italian. I've never tasted wine.
I've never drank a beer in my life. I've never smoked a cigarette, and I've never smoked weed. Not because
but you've
I'm a
sucked a lot of cock, though, I've heard.
Yeah, very good. Well, wait, listen. So what happened is, you know, not because of the bodybuilding, mostly because of my father, you know, drinking's for losers. You know, he never drank and everything. And
yeah.
When I was 18 years old, I worked in a strip club, and I used to see guys I knew that were big, tough biker guys, and they would be on the ground fucking unconscious because of drinking. You know what I mean? And throwing up and shit. And I never found throwing up to be fun. And, you know, the main thing is I don't want to lose control. And when you drink and you do shit that affects your mind, like smoking a lot of weed, you lose control, whether you think so or not. I'm sure there's people out there going, no fucking way, that's not true. You're fucking kidding yourself, Jack. Dude, let me tell you something. If you get high, if you get any kind of buzz, you give up part of control of what you have.
Absolutely.
I don't like to lose control. But the government wants you to lose control. And I'm not one of these conspiracy people, okay? I don't think the government blew up the Twin Towers, all that nonsense. You follow what I'm saying? I'm just telling you that I think it's all part of the zombie nation. Give them a little bit. Let them get fucked up, dude. You know, give them throw them a bone here and there. But, you know, you're controlling them more in another way. You know, we have all of our, they're watching everything you do. There's cameras everywhere today, Joe. There's fucking everything you do, they know about. I mean, but you get to smoke weed. To me, I don't give a shit. When Bill Maher sits there and says, oh, I'm proud of my country for the first time, you know, legalizing marijuana. Dude, that's like the big fucking thing to you? Legalizing marijuana? You know what I mean? You got school teachers fucking every day. There's another school teacher fucking having an affair with a fucking kid. You know what I'm saying? Banging a kid and shit. Like, they get all kinds of shit happening. Kids going to school with guns. Kids fucking watching fucking video games and acting that shit out. Wacky shit like that. You know, and you're gonna fucking medical marijuana is your big fucking like that's your big accomplishment. Ooh, we get to smoke weed now legally. Woo!
Big fucking
deal. You know what I
mean?
That's just my take on that shit.
This country is becoming. This isn't a political show. We're not trying to make it into that. I don't want to fucking.
No, I don't.
I don't want to go off on in another direction that's in this same genre here. But I mean, I'm not proud of this fucking country for medical marijuana. I'm not proud of this fucking country for the fucking illegal immigration and the Dream Act and all that. I think we're fucking just making this fucking place a big shithole. But I mean, but it's such a fucking. I mean, it's either you love or you fucking hate. And it's the fucking liberals love all of this shit.
not because my fucking partner in life, my girlfriend here, is a Mexican. Okay, which she is. And Mike, you got a Mexican at home too. I know you do. So, but the thing is, the whole immigration thing is. It's all about supply and demand. You know, they do the jobs that nobody else wants to do. Go get a bunch of white high school, college kids to fucking tar your driveway or go out and dig a swimming pool in your backyard. Every 5 minutes they're taking a break, they're text messaging, you know what I mean? All that kind of shit. Dude, I have the Mexican guys that come to the house here, they work, don't even fucking take a break. They don't text message, they're not doing any of that shit. That's why it's supply and demand. The people in this country are constantly bitching about that shit. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When it comes time to get work done at your house, you'd be the first one to fucking hire a bunch of Mexicans because you know that they're going to work. You know what I'm saying?
But fucking 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't the case, and work got done, though, bro.
Yeah, but dude, today you got cell phones and text messaging and all the bullshit. You know, 20, 30 years ago, you worked for your uncle or your whoever, your father or something like that. Maybe he had a landscape thing, and he kicked your fucking ass if you sat down. You know what I mean? Not today, dude. You know what I mean? I mean, dude, I go to a deli and BJ's, right? I'll go get some, like cold cuts and shit. And let me tell you something. When it's break time, the chick will be on break. She'll be in the middle of cutting meat. She'll fucking stop and walk away and say, fuck that. I got a 15-minute break. I'm taking my break now. And, fuck the customers.
That's
the stuff. They'll put up a little sign back in 15 minutes.
But, see, that's where supervisors need to fucking come into play and say,
yeah, but you gotta
take
watch
a break
what you
when
say.
The fucking line is empty. Get your
but
ass
you gotta
back
watch
on.
What you do. Everything today, you fucking say the things the wrong thing. If you say something to a minority woman or something, they're good luck. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. You know, everything is taken, kind of, they use racism as a fucking, of course, there's a ton of racism everywhere, and I don't like racism. I think it's ugly. But what I'm saying to you is, you know, everything, you know, it's a tool. Everything today is a tool. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying to you that I just look at the situation and I say, you know, it's all, you know, with the immigration supply and demand and with legalizing shit like marijuana, to me, they want to create a zombie nation. I think that they like it. The more, look, you know, let them get a little fucked up. Let them get high. Who gives a shit? Fuck them. We're controlling them more and more. You know what I mean? You follow what I'm saying? That's the way I look at it.
But they're fucking, you know, then other people say, well, the government's making money off it. That's why they were doing it. Well, whatever. You know, government's going to make money no matter
really
what the fuck it wants.
Listen to me. That's bullshit. Do you think that the guy that's riding around on fucking Venice Beach in the green shirt, in the green outfit, with the bicycle, you think he, oh, I got to, you know, is he taking fucking credit cards and fucking checks? I doubt it. He's not reporting shit to the government.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how the whole chain of command works with this fucking thing, and I'm never going to look into it because I don't care about it that much.
I want to see some farmland in Idaho that's growing marijuana fucking crops and shit like that where the government's on top of bullshit. The government. That's such bullshit. The government's throwing you a freebie because it's sidetracking you from the reality of what's really going on. Oh, shit, yeah, legalize marijuana. Meanwhile, everything else is being taken away. You know, I'm going to get a fucking steak, a goddamn beef right now. You know, the skyrocket, the prices of food and shit like that are through the fucking ceiling. But you know what? Hey, I can smoke a joint, though. Yeah, smoke weed. You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's a joke. It's a fucking joke.
It really is unbelievable how they, you know, like I was saying before the break, and I'm not going to reiterate or rehash it, but it's just like, obviously smoking, it's, at least I know in New York, it's fucking like $10 a pack or whatever. So they really made it hard for you to keep smoking. They invented this e-cigarette. They're doing all of this stuff. They're having commercials with these fucking guys with fucking holes in their neck, fucking talking through these fucking robotic fucking things to really turn smokers off and get them to quit. You know, quit hotline, patches, all of this shit, gums and all of this fucking stuff. But then you think that fucking weed is not doing anything that, like,
hey,
cigarettes
Joe,
are doing as far as lung cancer and shit like that
you.
Goes?
I got a question for you. Let me ask you a question. What happens if some guy's taking a police test, right? And he's in the academy and he tests positive for marijuana and this shit's legal. Does he still get the job or does he lose the job?
That's a fucking question I don't have an answer to. It's a good one. I really don't know.
Think about that. He can't say, can he say, fuck, it's legal. I smoked a joint last night, so what?
I guess, you know what, probably if he has that fucking bullshit fucking piece of paper that you walk into these fucking bodegas / dispensaries and they fill out this piece, you can hold that piece of paper up and said, I said that I have fucking anxiety and trouble sleeping and I got prescribed by this fucking, they're probably like, physician's assistant or some bullshit fucking rank in these fucking stores. They have to have some bullshit piece of paper they got on the line, 4-hour online test. If you can hold up that fucking piece of paper, but now their rules might be you can't take it once you take this job, then maybe they get in trouble.
Because I don't give a shit. If you got a buzz going from smoking weed and you're carrying a gun as a cop, your fucking, you know, your judgment's not going to be as sharp.
But it's the same thing, bro. It's the same thing with fucking juice with the athletes. If they say, oh, you know, testosterone replacement therapy is legal with the prescription, but against the rules, like with fucking what's his face, just, you know, retired from the UFC, Chael Sonnen, because he says he wanted to have fucking kids and he was getting TRT to get his fertility up, which we know is all a bunch of bullshit. But he wanted to fucking, he was getting older. He wanted to get some of his fucking youth back. Just like everybody else that's in
bullshit.
That fucking age bracket. And Dana White said, no, you can't fucking fight if you're on TRT. And he said, well, fuck it, I'm out.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I agree with that. Because even though it's legal to get, you know, HRT is what you're talking about. And we all know that the real HRT, you know, the shit that they're giving these guys, gel and all the
juice
shit.
And ACA. Just not, yeah, that's all fucking horseshit.
That shit doesn't do dick.
It's got.
I mean,
yeah.
Let me tell you. When it comes to juice, I know. But let me tell you something. People may call me a hypocrite. Oh, you took steroids. I took a lot of fucking steroids. I'm going to tell you, in my day, I took a lot. All right? I didn't get jacked the way I was fucking for not to. But let me just tell you something. It doesn't affect. Roid rage, it doesn't exist. That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's no such thing as roid rage. If you're an asshole and you take steroids, you're going to be a bigger asshole.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one thing. Number two, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody drives into a fucking, wrong way on the highway because they just took a shot of fucking testosterone. It doesn't affect your thinking. It doesn't, like, you don't get high from it. Anything that affects your motor skills, like, if anything, testosterone makes you sharper with that stuff, okay? But when you're smoking and you're getting high, you're like, hey, man, I just smoked a whole pound of weed, dude. That affects your fucking, that affects the way you're going to drive. That affects a lot of other shit. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit what anybody says. You're not going to convince me of this shit. I don't want to hear our founding fathers bullshit. Like I said, they fucking used to smoke, they used to snort coke, our founding fathers. You know, they used to have opium dens. They were legal. They had all kinds of shit going on. You know what I mean? Coca-Cola once had cocaine in it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, what does that mean?
Into the fucking early fucking 20th century, it had cocaine in the fucking drink. But, bro, we got 30 seconds left in this episode. This was a fun one. We had Drita. We had two segments to talk about medical marijuana and fucking juice. So, I mean, this was I had a fun evening tonight, dude.
Dude, drop the reps, increase the dosage. That's my motto.
See, that's what pisses me off, that they're going to put weed out there and say it's fucking for medical purposes, but they shun the fucking, they look it down at TRT as if it's fucking the evil, the worst thing in the world and all of that. But whatever, we're never going to fucking win that argument because there's more potheads
never.
Than there are fucking juice heads in the fucking world. So that's going to do it for us this week on Greg and Joe on Extreme Radio. Make sure you check us out every Monday, 8 to 9 Eastern and 5 to 6 Pacific right here on Voice America's Variety Channel, fitnessrxmn.com for all your updates. And next week, make sure you check us out, DJ Who Kid, on the same episode. For Greg and Mike, the engineer, this is Joe P. signing off. See you guys in a week.
Juice it.
Thank you for listening this week. Greg and Joe will be back next Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel with another edition of Extreme Radio. Now, go home and get your shine box.